4, side A or 1 with Mark Stern. Too complex.
Right.
All right, so now we're talking about things like the Mishnah, for example. Do you think Pittsburgh is any different than New York in the way the setup is of the various temples and religious groups?
It's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
Yes, Pittsburgh is very different from all the other communities. Not in the area of studying, because the studying is done all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
But studying is done all over the country only through the Orthodox groups. In Pittsburgh, not only we have Kollel that is teaching the adult education. We're talking about adults, of course. For children, always education is available in every town where they are Jews. Mm-hmm. One way or another, the Jews find a way to teach children. If they have to hire somebody to tutor them, or if the synagogue has afternoon classes for children, or the private school, Hebrew school, like Talmud that I went to in Poland. But for adult education, Pittsburgh, in addition to having the weekly studies and more than that, that is organized by Kollel and...
What is that word, Kollel?
The Kollel is an Orthodox group that moved into Pittsburgh specifically for that purpose. They are supported by a movement, by Orthodox movement. But in addition to that, we have in each, almost each synagogue, adult study courses, either by allowing people to come to a short series of speakers and learning through that, or coming and participating and studying the Parshat Shavuah, which is the weekly portion of the Torah, or studying the Talmud, Mishnah, or any other parts of the Jewish studies. One of the things that we have done at Beit Shalom, and I have to refer to that because that's where I was involved too, we have built a special library for the Talmud studies. And through the generosity of Jerome Lehman, who is a member of this community, in memory of his father, Rabbi Lehman, who was a rabbi in our congregation for many years, and after he passed away, he was buried in Jerusalem, where he was originally born too. So Jerome Lehman built a special study library for Torah studies. And there was the influence of the leadership of our congregation. The planning I was very involved in. And because he wanted to that the community should remember his father as Jerusalem born and buried in Jerusalem, he has used Jerusalem stone that he imported from Israel to build a hallway that is an entrance to that library. And it just looks beautiful. People came from all over Pittsburgh to see it. I'm very proud that this is one of the places that we have used already for bris and for weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And even for funerals, because it is a place where you can really feel in awe.
Are you saying that the adult education programs in other cities don't have anything but Orthodox programs? That Pittsburgh is one of the few?
No, I'm saying that they are mostly done through the Orthodox.
In
the other towns. They are here and there. A synagogue that will have a special adult education course. I feel that in Pittsburgh is done more heavily, as a matter of fact, to the point that we oversaturate Pittsburgh with the adult education courses. That some of the people, I really wonder if they don't give up before they start because there's too many choices.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes by having one or two or three and advertising it heavily, you can attract more people. Mm-hmm. I found we don't attract enough people. And I don't know, I somehow feel that maybe it's because we offer too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's supply and demand, American way. If you supply little, the demand becomes very strong, everybody wants it. If you supply too much, nobody wants it. You think, well, it's not that anybody can get that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the Pittsburgh Jewish community is a more vibrant Jewish community?
I don't think that. I just wondered Jewish if that was why they is more vibrant. I think the Pittsburgh Jewish community leadership wants to bring more education to the people in Pittsburgh, and I'm sorry to say that all the effort that we have put in, we were successful in a very minimal measure. We should have succeeded better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a congregation like ours that really planned the education the way we did and promoted, and we had high-class speakers and high-class educators. I mean, really, we didn't draw enough people for that. And this is a shame. Well, here and there, we had it right. We had a speaker that will fill up the sanctuary with 1,800 people.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to see 100, 200 people really going in and saying, I want to hear what these people have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how minimal was it that you were disappointed?
Minimal is 20, 25 people. And that is minimal.
Yes.
I believe that we have done the right thing. We maintained it. Because if it is 20, this is more than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gotten some people that have gained a lot by it. Mm-hmm. It's just too bad that the other people don't take advantage of it. And I, from what I hear, this is not only Beit Shalom, this is all over the community. There is something in assimilation. And I think we're going through the growing pain of becoming Jewish again. I truly believe that in the last 10 days, in 10 years, the last 12 years that I'm in Pittsburgh, I saw more young couples moving out of proper Pittsburgh, out of Squirrel Hill, to outskirts, to sections where the Jewish identity wasn't as visual, as available, as impressive as in Squirrel Hill. What I was attracted by on Pittsburgh was the Squirrel Hill. And I'm glad to say that I see in the last year or so that more and more people find it that it's worthwhile coming back to Squirrel Hill.
You really think so? That's interesting.
I think so. I think it's a movement to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the housing is going to become at premium in this area. And I think that the Squirrel Hill will become again the Jewish center. I remember when I came in, there must have been about 4-5 kosher butchers. Now we have, I think, only two, and they are a part of the general grocery store and butcher. They are kosher, but it was different. We had a kosher bakery, and now we have one, or we have two, but it's just, you know, when you went on Maury Avenue, when you went on Forbes, you knew you were in Jewish section.
Okay.
You really knew you were in Jewish section.
That's 12 years ago you're talking about.
That's
when you
right.
came. What was the year?
Years ago. In 1973.
And it was still, because I do not
yes.
remember
Weinberg
when the change
on the
came.
Corner?
No, I've been here longer, so I don't remember when the change occurred.
No.
That's why I'm asking you the year you
it
came, and
change.
It was still that
it did
feeling.
Since. And when you went to the butcher, they asked you where you come from. And, they wanted to know your family
right.
story. It was the Jewish title, Jewish store, you know? But
and today.
Times are changing again.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the style of operation, but I say that we're going to come more to the identity. I think that the Jewish people will learn more and more that they have to study, And I think that the synagogues are prepared for it. I'm not sorry. I'm very glad that our congregation has built our facilities to serve that need. We have a lot of places where we can teach because we have planned for it. You know, there was a baby starvation for a while. Now the baby boom started a few years back, and we started seeing the young children coming back to school. Most of the schools dropped their enrollment, the Jewish schools. I think the general schools too, public schools, because they closed some public schools. Right. But I think that now, as the Jewish children will come to be seen, more and more of them will go to private Jewish schools. There's nothing like Jewish education in school online. Mm-hmm. I am telling you that because that's where I went. You mentioned before to me that you're sorry that you didn't study that. Mm-hmm. I am glad I did. I spent 12 years studying Hebrew in Krakow. From the first grade on, through high school, Liceum, for 12 years I studied in Hebrew as a main language, Polish as a second language, then we had German and Latin, and all the subjects. It was the most difficult school. We went for six days a week to school. Mm-hmm. But we have learned. We have observed Jewish holidays. We are national. We have learned to be national-minded, and we are very Jewish. And I really hope that that trend is coming. And I can see it. We have Salomo Shechter School now in Pittsburgh, only one. Didn't wind up at Beit Shalom, and I am sure for political reasons, but I'm not going to go into it. But someday, there will be a Shalom Shechter School where it should be, at Beit Shalom. We have the facilities. We have the ability to handle it. You asked me about names of the people. There was one man that when I came to Pittsburgh said to me, why don't you open a Salomo Shechter School and I give you $100,000, $200,000 to make sure that you have enough money to have Salomo Shechter School. That was Alfie Halpern. Alfred Halpern was...
The banker?
The banker. And we never came to it because politically we couldn't do it. Because the community was afraid of the strength that we have created. I can understand them. I'm just sorry that these things happen in the community. Because we didn't have it in mind to try politically outdo other congregations. We had in mind to bring something to the community that was needed. A conservative Hebrew school that will be the first class supervised by national movement, the best school in existence in the United States. But this is only one of the things that we didn't succeed. We succeeded on many others.
Well, I noticed your facilities, and I thought we'd get it on tape, that your building is beautiful and modern, and Community College rents space from you on the second floor and uses all your classrooms in the evenings.
I think there have been many community resources that have taken advantage of the building.
The reason for it is simple. We are in Square Hill. We have a parking lot. Mm-hmm. And we are able to serve this community with best facilities. Mm-hmm. And to close it at night, it would be a crime. So what we did, we had first... the Alcoholic Anonymous that were meeting there for a while.
What's that?
Alcoholic Anonymous.
AAs. They were meeting there and they felt that they were too visual and they stopped coming. We had activities for singles like I mentioned and for the whole Jewish community and was very active. And actually from the first year I came in here when I organized the first group of the singles, Jewish singles, and when that one collapsed after 3 years, we have reorganized and organized another one that is in existence now. The Beit Shalom singles not only serve during the year, but they have high holiday services for Jewish singles. And this is unheard of for a little town like Pittsburgh, you know. In New York they have it, this is understood. So we have brought it in, and I'm very proud of that. And of course, the community college, as well as other institutions, we have allowed to use our facilities for that purpose. We have aerobics for people that would like to use aerobics. We have square dancing a few times a year. We do.
Great. Maybe we should describe the building. Just, we do have a gym, and there's a
social
hall.
Well, just to give you an idea.
I didn't know that. Yes. You mean there's a gym?
Oh, yes.
There?
This is one of the few synagogues that has a gym.
I never heard of it.
Full-size gym.
Wow.
All right. Just to give you an idea, okay? We start with the classrooms. We have a school building with approximately 16 classrooms. We have sanctuary that accommodates 1,800, over 1,800 members. On high holiday, we're using, in addition to the sanctuary, one of the libraries for 50 teenagers.
There are two libraries.
And we're using the other facility. We have two libraries. We have three libraries now, including the Talmud Torah library, the study of Torah library. We have special services for every age in our school. So there are three services that we're starting with babysitters and ending with the bar mitzvah age. We have single services. We accommodate over 2,500 people during high holiday in that building. In addition to the sanctuary, we have a ballroom that the largest activities of the community, which ZOA Purim Ball, for example, takes place there, because we accommodate up to 600 people in our ballroom. Of course, including the kosher kitchen, excellent facilities that every caterer in town would like to cater in. And we have also a kosher dairy kitchen that Sisterhood is manning in that area. We have built last year a pavilion within the building for Kiddush and for small meetings. We have a Sisterhood gift shop that is most beautiful. In addition, of course, for the facilities for the young people, we have three large meeting rooms for the teenagers with games and chairs for meetings, and of course the gym, full-size gym, when they come to practice their basketball or other games. There is a full-time youth director that makes sure that they are supervised. We have a basketball coach that teaches them how to play. I mean, this is only part of it, because of course the facilities include men's club room and sisterhood room for meetings and other many meeting rooms throughout the building.
Remarkable.
It's a big facility. To think of it, that just utilities reach over $60,000 a year, this is if you watch it. Because if you don't watch it, can cost $90,000. We really cut down by using the latest equipment, which I have instituted. My background in engineering helped me. I have high technology equipment controlling our utilities to spend the least amount for that.
Yes. Do you use, the reason I ask this on the board of the People's Natural Gas, do you use gas?
We use People's Natural Gas.
The
man who represents People's Natural Gas said to one of my friends who knows him personally, the only guy that really doesn't use the gas the way we expect him to use is Mark Stern at Bacello. And it's true, we have really cut down the cost of it because we have watched it. But this is only part of it, of course, because our large facility that serves this community is the cemetery, which I have reorganized since I was there to be the most beautiful cemetery in Pittsburgh, to serve every person The Beit Shalom in my times, as long as I was there, never refused anybody service on the cemetery. We had people who are Russians who came in who didn't want to go to the Hebrew free burial for pride. We tried to charge them the minimum to enable them to have the ability to do that, to live with it.
Where is the cemetery located?
Cemetery is in Millville, which is only about 20 minutes drive.
Near Rodefshaw?
No. Yeah, not far from the their
that's
cemetery.
That's further on.
Not far from their cemetery. But we have the, I would say, the largest cemetery in Pittsburgh. We have ability to...
Largest Jewish cemetery.
Largest Jewish cemetery. We have a... Right now, we have developed about 60,000 graves. We used only 6,000. We have enough for another hour.
We have 60,000 and we've used only six?
Yes. Area. Of course, we sold more burials. We used six burials, may have 60,000, but we sold, I would say, about 20,000 already by now. And we have the best developed system on bookkeeping and management of the cemetery, which I have developed in the high technology. Again, I went into computer, so we can find the locations of everybody. It's a very complicated business, a very responsible business. So you also have a lot of money that you have to put aside by law and maintain it. And this is also managed accordingly. So this is kind of an achievement that I'm proud to mention, because I think that this is another service for the community that we have developed as one of the best ones around here.
Well, we've covered everything into the cemeteries from...
Well, this is a life cycle. I have called in one of our membership drives. I started first saying that the life cycle of services, they have developed an emblem of life cycle, like a circle, Beit Shalom life cycle of services. And I said we serve full life cycle to the people, from birth
to death,
through marriage, etc., up to death.
Yes. Well, you're now in a new phase of your cycle where you've retired. I know one of the things you decided to do was to go and study.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about maybe your decision to retire, and certainly the things that you decided to do?
Yes. Was it your age that influenced you?
It wasn't the
age.
It was a couple of things.
Right.
I reached the age of 62. And with it, there were two things that came to me. One of them, the realization that in my whole life, I have worked, and I have planned, and I have enjoyed what I have done, but it was done to earn a living, to support a family, and I wanted possibly to be able to do things, firstly, for myself, like Ali mentioned, studying, which I have not done since 1939 when the war broke out. And to do this, immediately after I retired, I went to Israel for 6 weeks, and I spent some time in a yeshiva there. Went back to study, shaking, worrying if I'd be able to do it, and it was a pleasure finding that it's just as easy to sit at a book and bend over and study the Jewish text. But also the other part of serving the people without having to. I always felt that once you are salaried and you work in a community, even though I have spent half of my lifetime serving as a volunteer, because I never worked 40 hours a week, I always wound up working at least 80, so half of my lifetime was a volunteer work and half of my lifetime was a salaried job, but was never accepted as such. And my pride told me that I needed to be able to come in and show that I can do in the community service to the Jewish people as a volunteer. And I'm saying for the Jewish people because that's where my drive is. This is from the youngest, I always thought, from the time that I was liberated. I always felt that I want to be with Jewish people. I tried for a while in New York working for non-Jews, and I had a very bad experience of not being able to hold a supervisor's job because I took a high holiday off, because I would not work on high holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And the day after high holidays, when I was told that the supervisor's job was given to somebody else, I went to the head office and I said, I would not work for you, because that's why I came to America, to the free country. That is, this is my holiday, I take it, and this shouldn't affect you in giving or not giving me a job. And from that time on, I never worked for anybody else but Jews.
Mm.
This is something that maybe other people wouldn't do, but this is the way my life turned. And I'm glad it did, because it gave me an opportunity to work in the fields that were very interesting and very fulfilling. And I'm hoping that my retirement, although it's slow starting, because it's going to take time, I have to do it right. I don't believe in jumping into it. So I hope that I will develop a way where I will get the fulfillment and the people in Pittsburgh, because I plan to stay in Pittsburgh, will gain something by my involvement.
We're glad you came.
I have two things I would like you to comment on. And I'm going to mention them both so I don't forget them. One is, I would like, if you don't mind, to, because I've heard you say this before, or similar things, to comment on how you felt when you went to Israel to study, on the joy, the excitement of going and studying again. And the other thing is, I would like you to just say a few words about your commitment and a Jewish commitment to volunteerism. National Council of Jewish Women has a strong commitment to volunteerism, and we feel that it's very important also to participate in the community, the Jewish community and the whole community. We are involved with both.
Those two things almost come together, because I wanted to study, because studying is the Jewish way, you study the Jewish way of life. To me, I have a pride of being a Jew. I have survived, and many that have survived had been tempted to change their personality, even their way of life. I had myself a cousin that I don't remember his name, I erased it from my mind, who after the war became non-Jew, because it was very simple to just get witnesses of what you wanted to be. And he's living as non-Jew in America.
Mm-hmm.
I am very proud of being Jew, and if I suffered through the Holocaust, it's because I was a Jew, and I wouldn't now turn away from it. But more than that, I think we have responsibility toward it. So studying, you learn how you're supposed to live. And all through our Jewish religion, every place you look, you will see that the responsibility is to help your fellow human being, to love your neighbor like you love thyself. And I mean, you know, I don't want to just say sentences that are meaningless, but it really has to do with how we're supposed to live. And this is why I wanted to study. I wanted to study really to find out if there's any way that I can justify better why 6 million people died.
And
I had a hard time finding. I couldn't. The only thing I could find, a peace in my mind, a peace in myself to accept it, that I was right, that the God still exists. And just because it happened, you don't turn away and you say, well, there's no God because I lost my family. And the pleasure of going in and sitting down with the young people and being able, because of my knowledge that I have learned so many years back, being able to help them to study and understand this difficult text was tremendous pleasure. And I was very tempted to become ultra-Orthodox, to the point that I was on my way to the place to buy myself the Arba Kamfot, which is the talus with the four tzitzis, and to wear it, and I realized that this is not me, and I don't want to be anything else but me. With all my experience, with all my weaknesses, with all being human, because that's what the weaknesses are. And as far as the volunteerism, Pittsburgh is very good at that. And when I mentioned before that the women should be more involved in synagogues, it's for the simple reason because more women work better as volunteers without looking for this political gain, so to say, than men. I told you one thing. I should say it. I don't care. Nobody can hurt me because I tell the truth. That's the way I feel. I don't know if I'm right. That's my opinion. And I have seen people work in the synagogue. And I have seen the commitment that owed me. I was beside myself to understand how people can do that. And I mentioned that man, Ernest Nachman, who is a man who has done such tremendous jobs serving the community in every area. Mm-hmm. And women. We have an example, the last president that I work closely with, who spent more time, is still spending more time in a synagogue. Mrs. Silberman committed herself to work for a synagogue. So when she got out of the bakery business,
yeah, she was the baker.
Right? She has given all of it.